We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 581 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and apologies if your nerves didn't even recover after PSG. Mine did not, and I felt like going into this El Clasico, things did feel a bit lackluster because of it. Yet, here we sit at the end of it somehow, and it's heartbreaking again. I didn't even have the nerves to feel as frustrated as I found myself at the conclusion of this one. A lot of credit to you for watching this. I do really appreciate it. Win or lose, as I said, against PSG, I always appreciate the Patreons, including the new ones, for making this possible. And you can keep supporting for free by leaving a like and subscribing to the YouTube channel and by following along on the podcast apps. All right, because you know I do every match review, regardless of the result, here we go. The five headlines from Barcelona's 3-2 loss to Real Madrid in El Clasico. Headline one is Lunin takes his lump. Lunin had a nervy start, and it was a bit unfortunate that Barcelona couldn't capitalize, because if Rafinha does score that early opportunity that Lunin almost bottled there, this game really gets thrown on its head. But I kind of contradict myself immediately, because it was a 6 minute when Barcelona did take, we'll say, quote-unquote control by going up 1-0 in the game. Good pressure, though, I have to say, at the Bernabeu from Barca, starting two teenagers in their first El Clasico ever in Cubarsí and Lamine Yamal. Barcelona getting a few corners early. So Rafinha delivering the in-swinger. This is really poor from the goalkeeper, not to take anything away from Christensen, but really poor from Lunin. Gets it all wrong, and Christensen at the back post easily outjumps Cruz. Christensen's second goal of the season, by the way, the 3-2 against PSG being the other one. And I got to thinking, at least at that point in the game, not just because he scored the goal, but yeah, could Barcelona have not gotten a red against PSG? What's the what if Christensen doesn't pick up that yellow against PSG in the first leg and get suspended, and Barcelona actually able to start against PSG, up that goal on aggregate with that defensive midfielder? But that's just me hoping and dreaming that the paths were a little bit different, especially after a second heartbreaking loss in the same week. Headline two is Cancelo and Cubarsí concede. Real Madrid did respond to the goal with some energy. Vinny Jr. probably should have scored off Modric's flick-on header, but it was too high. And for a player that, if I had checked, started less than half of the games in the Liga this season in Modric and might be done with his time at Barcelona, he is a player that I do respect. That is true. Unlike some Real Madrid players throughout the years who I really, really hated, Modric, I always wish I could have just been a neutral watching him, because really a good class player who seemed to raise his game against Barcelona each and every year as well. The only thing that he ever took from me was, I feel like, the 2018 Ballon d'Or. That was more of a participation trophy for being on Real Madrid in the season they had, and Croatia getting to the final of the World Cup in 2018. But that's in the past, because in the present, his team were starting to take control of this game. Barcelona were starting to cede possession. And that is the trade-off, with Pedri not playing from the jump, instead Christensen coming in his stead. Christensen isn't going to control that game with the ball at his feet. That's also not who De Jong is, and Gundogan is better farther forward. That's why you start Christensen, so you can have Gundogan up with the Minimal doing some dangerous things, which we'll talk about in a second. But before that, we have to talk about the negative, which was the 1-1, 17th minute. Cubarsí leaves his right foot out, and Lucas Vazquez goes down after blowing past Cancelo. Cancelo, another huge mistake, and that is not the last time I'm going to be saying that in this match review. Just outside the box prior to Lucas Vasquez getting inside the box. Vinny Jr. then scores the penalty, even though Ter Stegen guessed right, unfortunately, but the penalty was too good. This is sloppy from Cancelo, and it's a bit naive from Cubarsí, but I, as a culé, tell you that, hey, if you're a Madridista listening or watching this, yeah, congratulations to you. But for the culés, Cubarsí had his hands behind his back, and he did keep the leg out. That is why they called a penalty. But you know what? Vasquez did initiate the contact with his right leg, and the ball was not very close to him. Unfortunately for Barcelona, this is never going to be overturned, but there is an argument both ways. This is one of those where if we want to have discussion about the referee's initial decision, we can. But I think the reason VAR doesn't overturn this is because there is enough contact between Cubarsí's leg that he left out and Vasquez that it doesn't get overturned. But I also think that because you can argue Vasquez had initiated the contact, if that's what the ref originally had called, no penalty, I don't think this one gets overturned the other way and is a penalty. I think this one goes in the books as whatever the first call was, and that is unfortunate for Barcelona. 24th minute, Barca finally settled down for a passage of play. Well done by Araujo to play Cancelo on, who flicked on to Rafinha, who won the corner. And on the corner, Lewandowski just too high on the header. This moment, just like in the 20th minute against PSG early in the week, it's going to get forgotten with all the other big headlines and big moments, but if Lewandowski puts that one in the back of the net, Barcelona up 2-1, and maybe this game is different. Headline 3 is at the center of it all. Lewandowski, not sure I'm going to really mention him much throughout the rest of this match review, because the rest of it was about the guy who was actually named the man of the match in Lamine Yamal. 28th minute, another corner, Lamine Yamal flicked it on, and Lunin tried to keep it out. But did this one go over the line? Did the whole of the ball, that's the rule, did the whole of the ball go over the line? VAR took a look. I couldn't tell. I didn't see a single angle that showed it clearly. And here's my question. If it was ruled a goal, would the goal have stood? Was it only not overturned because it wasn't clear and obvious enough to overturn it? That would be the argument for Barcelona, again, being hard done by. Unless you want to throw an angle at me that does show that it was fully over the line, I didn't see one, and maybe it'll get released in the next 24 hours, or maybe it's already on, or maybe it's out on the internet and you already have it with me, so things could be different, but this is another frustrating one because if the referee, I think, had initially called it one way, then VAR doesn't overturn it the opposite way. But because the referee had initially said that it was not over the line fully and did not call for the goal, VAR did not have enough to overturn it. Then a minute later, Lamine Yamal probably went down a bit too easily against Camavinga, but just as easily as Lucas Vasquez had gone down on the other side. Camavinga doesn't get the ball, but it's not enough contact to rightly bring Lamine Yamal down for me. Maybe slightly less contact than Vasquez and Cubarsí, but again, frustrating for Barcelona because just so close. And if a little bit of luck had gone their way, and by luck I mean the referee, then this game is different in the first half. Then 2 minutes later, Camavinga picked up a yellow because Gundogan played Lamine Yamal through and he brought him down just outside the box. Was he fortunate that Tchouaméni had gotten in position? By that I mean, was Tchouaméni in position or should this have been a red? Because Lamine Yamal was in on goal. Rafinha too high on the following free kick, but I'm still left with more questions. I did work in sports talk radio for a little bit, which is a bit too hot takey for me, as those who are with me all the time know. But one of the lessons I did learn from, I'll call them some of those blowhards who've been in sports talk radio for 10, 20, 30 years, 40 even, I learned that if you're just asking the questions, it can still rile everybody up, and that's what I'm doing. I'm asking the questions. What I do know is that I wouldn't want to have been the referee in this instance because there were just too many opportunities for Barcelona to get a little bit of luck, and they didn't get any of it. So just as a culé myself, I feel hard done by the amount of times that luck did not go Barcelona's way today, even if you're a Madridista in my comments who believe that everything was called the right way. 38th minute, Barcelona took their time and broke through the Real Madrid press, leading to a cross from Cancelo. The Lunin did well to punch away from Lewandowski, though it did lead to another corner that bounced right across the six-yard box. Again, more luck not going Barcelona's way, that there was nobody there at the back post. 45th minute, Modric deserved a yellow card on a cynical pull down of Rafinha, but the ref doesn't pull the card. Everything going against Barcelona luck-wise in the first half. Of all the other things I've said so far that gave the referee and VAR an excuse, no excuse here. Ref has to give a yellow. This is a cynical pull down. I don't care that you don't want to give out yellows or don't want this game to bubble over. Both teams were playing exhausted from the Champions League stuff, and this game didn't really reach any kind of fever pitch, and it hadn't in that first half either. This is a yellow on Modric. And then right before halftime, Christensen lost the ball but slid back in to make the tackle with Vinny Jr. when he failed to shoot, passed it over to Rodrigo. Barcelona, a little bit of luck there defensively, but showing the cracks, unfortunately. Then De Jong, a really strong tackle by Valverde, who did get the ball, but getting De Jong's ankle on the follow-through, I said initially, how is that not a yellow? But yes, on second look, he just put everything through the ball and just really unlucky for DeJong to have gone in the way he did and stretchered off. At this point, I don't know what his status is, but still just really unfortunate. And as I said, to sum it all up, none of that 50-50 stuff going Barca's way. The right leg of Vasquez on Cubarsí was the ball over the line. Modric getting a yellow, as in not getting a yellow on Rafinha. And then Valverde just catching De Jong's ankle straight through. And now Barcelona have lost De Jong. Two of the four are probably right, but instead it's 0 for 4. But I was still hopeful because in that first half, Lamine Yamal showed against Camavinga. It did feel a bit like a matter of time that if Lamine Yamal could keep going 1v1 against Camavinga, something good was going to happen.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you think of great duos, who do you think of? Jordan and Pippen or LeBron and Dwayne Wade? I mean, I talk about basketball a lot here on this podcast, but for the Barcelona version, there's Piqué and Puyol or Piqué and Mascherano, or the easy example of Xavi and Iniesta. And as you can hear from my voice, the perfect teammates aren't just professional athletes. It's cold season. I guess the flu and cold medicine, perfect teammates as well. But in this case, when it comes to growing your business, that's you and Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. To be honest, I've been doing this show long enough, and as I mentioned, it's cold and flu season. You hear it in my voice, especially during the holiday season. So whenever it comes to this business, anything that I can set up and kind of have working in the background that I know and can trust is just plugging along without my attention, those are the things that I really value at this point. So when my brain is foggy and all I can do is manage to turn on the microphone, talk to the guest, or just talk to myself and get out a piece of content, everything else, having that all automated or working in the background, that's been important to keeping me sane. And that's the thing about something like Shopify. What I do love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So no matter how big or small, how good of a month or how bad of a month, things are just the same working in the background. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs on every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tbpod, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/tbpod now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/tbpod. Headline 4, Fermín López, right place, right time. Pedri coming off for De Jong right before halftime, and Fermín López then coming off for Christensen at halftime. And the changes did seem to support Barcelona. They did, I think, in the second half, begin with a bit of energy and doing a good job on Vinny Jr. too. Didn't bring his A game on the night, and that was helpful to Barcelona, even though he scored the penalty. 58th minute, jump ahead there. Fermín López was accused of going down too easily with Rudiger, and I do disagree that he went down too easily. But I also think that Rudiger is just a big man and held his ground, and this is not a penalty. Which, you know, I take nuanced stances, and that's what that is. Fermín López did not flop. It was just a collection of bodies. Rudiger is double his size, so not a penalty, but Fermín López was not diving at all. I don't want to hear that. Now, the game did fall asleep a little bit there in the second half, I felt like, and Araujo did try to wake up Lunin. He played well, that being Araujo with the ball at his feet today, playing long to Lewandowski with Lunin off his line, but the Polish striker never got his feet right, couldn't get it on frame. 64th minute, then off goes Lewandowski and Rafinha for Ferran Torres and João Félix. And one of these subs wound up being really good, and the other one wound up being a player on loan. 67th minute, after a shout by the Bernabeu for a handball on Koundé, which obviously not a handball in any way, just hit his chest. The other way, Ferran Torres was probably offside. He does go wide anyway, but because he would have been offside, I guess the silver lining here is that Ferran Torres showing you that he was getting involved. 69th minute, Ferran Torres more involvement. Cancelo driving forward. Torres switching play to Lamine Yamal and kept his run going to the near post. Good movement by Torres, and that created a bit of chaos. Fermín López and Torres both onside, then on the cross from Lamine Yamal. Lunin doesn't get a good enough punch, and Fermín López gets the rebound. Another El Clásico goal for Fermín López to add to his ledger, this time an official game. And then after Fermín López scored, I immediately turned the game off and began to write this, celebrating the 3 points. Great job, Barcelona. They did it. But, oh wait, what's that? All right, we got to do the fifth headline. Headline 5, only a win would do. Unfortunately for Barcelona, they had to win. Even a draw wasn't going to work. But those 3 points, when they were up 2-1 in the 69th minute, looked pretty good. But it wasn't even 5 minutes, the 73rd, the 2-2. Awful defending by Barcelona. Cancelo in particular, awful at the back post. And Lucas Vazquez beats him to the punch. Goes out wide to Vinny Jr. The cross gets off. And goodness, Cancelo. This might be the week that will stop Barca from bringing him back. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that how I feel about Cancelo and his loan and how I feel about João Félix and his loan are two different conversations. I think it's a lot harder to want to bring João Félix back. But after this kind of week from Cancelo, if you're not going to play him at the left wing, because that's what Barcelona also need, they really do need a true left winger. So if you're not going to play him on the left wing, I think you still need to figure out, is it Balde at left back? Are you going to bring in another left back? Because Cancelo at left back is not a long-term answer for you in any way. Against the bottom half of the Liga table, Cancelo was a good enough left back. But then once you get into Europe and once you face off against Real Madrid and some of the best that La Liga even has to offer, Cancelo is not a good enough defensive left back, at least, because he's also playing on the opposite side. So you're not doing a player who's not naturally a defender anyway any favors by playing him on the opposite side. But that's what Barcelona was stuck with once they had Balde go down. And Alonso just has not been good enough. He's also been injured for most of this season. But that's the excuse I've had to continue to make now for multiple seasons. As Barcelona have their financial issues, one or two or three injuries over the course of a season, it shows your lack of depth and it shows the limited options you have. That's why Cancelo's been playing left back for all these weeks. So I don't know about Cancelo's future, but I know Lucas Vazquez scored his first goal at the Santiago Bernabeu since the 2nd of April, 2023. A big game player against Barcelona, unfortunately. I wish that Barcelona had Sergio Roberto to do things like that. He had his moments, but Lucas Vazquez, who's just about the same kind of caliber player, he's had too many El Clásico moments for me to stomach. Lamine Yamal foul again in the 77th minute. Real Madrid get the blocks in, and then João Félix let a cross go. Then the other way, Vinny Jr. gets in transition, and Ter Stegen protects that near post, though, keeping this 2-2. Good job by Ter Stegen to keep his team in it. Modric brought down João Félix in the 83rd. Should have been a second yellow, but obviously he wouldn't have done it if he already had one, which I already talked about. 88th minute, Real Madrid offside on a delivery. Militao offside. Then Osvaldo missed it anyway, so Barcelona do survive in that moment, but 91st minute, 3-2, Bellingham wins it. He hadn't scored in months. It had been since February since he last scored. Lucas Vazquez out wide. Osvaldo going near post. Dummies it through, maybe on purpose, maybe not. Took Araujo with him. And then Bellingham at the back post leaves no doubt. I'm not sure exactly what the content plan is going to be for this week. So, of course, if you don't want to miss anything, Patreon, these shows are up there without the ads. And then subscribing on YouTube, that's the way you don't miss anything. I am going to start to do some transfer stuff, because all you need to know is that 11 points down in the Liga standings, that means the offseason is pretty much already upon us. And I would love it if everybody just didn't sign off for 3 or 4 months. So I'm going to have some transfer stuff already. And I know Barcelona doesn't have too much to spend, but they might make some things work, especially with some kind of big sale. So I have been unfortunately talking about that big sale and who that could be, but it could mean that they could find some kind of good deal out there. Who knows what they have cooking, maybe a loan with something to buy if the numbers all work. So I'm going to be looking at the transfer stuff in the coming weeks, as well as the Barça Femení, who, you want to talk about shocking results, they fell 1-0 in the first leg of the semifinal to Chelsea, the first time Chelsea had ever beaten the Barça Femení, and that happened yesterday. So a bit heartbroken about that one yesterday, and then El Clásico today, PSG. There are good weeks to be a Barcelona fan, and there are bad weeks. This has been an awful week to be a Kool-Aid, but I respect you for sticking with me. As always, until next time, win or lose, as I always say, Forza Barça.